If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me, please, again to Colossians, connecting to Christ in Colossians. And we really want to pray for folk this morning afterwards. We're going to speak this morning really about the freedom we have in Christ and connecting to Christ, part 2 in Colossians. So let's read together from chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be first. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, that through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which he has proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." This morning we're looking at connecting to Christ through this letter to the Colossians, and we've been seeing over the past 2 weeks, we've been lifting up the name of Jesus, and we've been looking at his greatness in his pre-existence, the fact that Jesus was eternal, he never had a beginning. We've seen his greatness in his preeminence, which means he's always first in everything. And we've seen his greatness in the fact that he is our Savior. The most important thing in the Christian life is not how you look in your own sight or how you look in the sight of others, but how you look in God's sight. And in Christ, we are accepted in him, in the Beloved. And so our purpose in doing this letter, just to refresh you again, has been for us to grow in our devotion to Christ. And for us to understand more and more how to present Jesus in our gospel mission. We don't just want to preach things, we want to preach Jesus. We want to preach Christ. And many Christians are inviting God into their stories, whereas actually God is inviting us into his story. And it's about him and what he is doing. And that story is Jesus. And the more space you make for Jesus in your life, the more the world will see him more clearly, because to be missional is to live one's life and ministry on Christ. And that's the mission we're on as a church. That's the purpose of our church and where we're heading as well. And so Paul is writing to the Colossians, these Christians that got saved, planted the church through Epaphras, and they got a bit distracted through false teaching. And he's writing to them to settle them and to bring them again to see who Jesus is. And he's saying, don't become distracted from Jesus. Don't be occupied with other things, even religious things, and don't dethrone Christ as the head. And so we looked at those three things last week, and this week I want to move on and touch on some more things. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus is also the creator and the glue of the universe. Verse 16 tells us that in chapter 1, it says there that, "For in him all things were created." And I want you to see this morning that In him, creation finds its explanation. And in him, all things were created. Jesus created this universe. And when it went wrong through the fall, through sin that entered in, Jesus re-entered, if you like, into his creation. And he entered as a man. We heard that scripture this morning read to us from John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Jesus entered into creation again in order to reconcile us back to the Father. And through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, he created a new humanity, a new creation, a new people. The person next to you is a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ, a new humanity. And we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ in the earth. And Jesus is the head. He is the authority and the life-giving source to that body. And so these false teachers in Colossae were fascinated with all these other things, with angel worship and religious experiences. They said, well, it's okay that you've got Jesus, but he's only a link in the chain. There are other links as well if you want to get to God. And Paul writes to correct them. And brothers and sisters, this morning I want you to know that we do not need the help of good angels, and we do not need to fear bad angels, because Jesus is the one who is the head, and he is the one who protects us. Let me just ask a question. You don't need to put up your hand, but how many of you, before you were saved, you trusted in other things for your protection? You read the horoscopes, or you believed in ancestors, or you wore, what is this, the skin that people wear around their wrists? What's that called? Okay, just say that loudly, Peewee. Amen. You wore all these things around your waist. You drank muti. You read the horoscopes. You believed in these things. You may even have worn a cross around your neck because you felt it was going to protect you somehow from these things. How many of you were in that situation? We all were, weren't we? We believed these things. We were filled with superstition and horoscopes, and we felt we needed to protect ourselves from these things. And Paul is writing to them and saying, in Christ, you don't need any of these things. Hallelujah. Because he is the head, and he is the authority, and he is our covering and protection. And so he is the creator and the glue of the universe. Secondly, I want you to see that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head of the natural realm of creation, and he is the head of the spiritual realm, if you like, of angels and the church on earth and in heaven. And he holds everything together. He holds the planets together, the stars. He holds the creation together. He is head over governments, over nations, over history, over the church. And Jesus became the head of a new race of people called Christians. No longer is Adam my head. Christ is now my head. And he is the head of the church. And Jesus is leading the entire church forward. He's leading the global church forward. Paul speaks in Corinthians and in Ephesians about the church being the body of Christ. And here in Colossians, he speaks about Christ being the head. And a head of your body is something that sees, that thinks, that gives direction. And Jesus, my friends, is leading the church. He's giving the church direction. He's taking us somewhere where he wants us to go. He's commanding the church. He's in charge. He's the head of the church. Your head controls your whole body, even when you're sleeping. Amen. And Jesus is doing the same with the church, even though we may not be aware of it. He's leading us individually. He's leading us as congregations. He's leading the church worldwide. This mighty global end-time church, Jesus is leading. Jesus is in charge. Jesus knows what he's doing. He's leading us forward, this mighty global church. And all over the world, he's gathering people from tribes and nations and language groups together to be part of this new creation, the church of the living God. And so Jesus is leading us forward, and we are part of an advancing kingdom of God in maturity, in power, in our reach, in our faith, in our devotion. And it's all part of God's mighty plan. And his mighty plan is, it says there in Colossians 1 verse 20, it's to bring all things together again in Christ. It's to reunite this creation again in Christ. And the Bible says that one day every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so now we see a world that's fragmented. We see disunity. We see hostility. We see sin. But Jesus is at work, and he's bringing all things together. Bringing all things together. Making peace through the cross. Uniting all things together in Christ. Jesus is our head. He's leading by the Holy Spirit. He's leading the church forward. He's leading us forward through his word, through the living word of God. And he's leading us also forward through people, through leaders as well. There's grace in people, and we're being led forward through people as well. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at that together. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. I want to just touch on these things, and then I want to bring a lot of application this morning, because I think it's important for us. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read there together from verse 11. Let's look from verse 8. It says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, when he rose from the dead, and he poured out his Holy Spirit, it says, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. You see that there? Gave gifts to men and women. Okay. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. You see that there, to maturity. I spoke to the leaders yesterday about the fact that God is looking for a mature church, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So I want you to see this morning that Jesus is leading his church forward. Jesus is in control. Jesus knows what he's doing, and he leads the church forward by the Holy Spirit. He leads us forward through the Word of God, and he leads us forward through people, grace in people, and he's given to the church apostles. Apostles, these first generation apostles that wrote the scriptures, but also modern apostles that help to lay foundations in the church. Apostles govern, prophets guide, pastors guard the flock, teachers ground the flock, and evangelists gather people. And he's given these gifts to the body of Christ. These people are gifts themselves. And they're given to the church to lead the church forward. And so we need these ministries, particularly, if I must say, the gift of apostle and prophet are needed in local churches to lay foundations and make sure that the church is well built, so that we built on an apostolic and prophetic foundation. And if there are churches that are led by pastors or teachers or evangelists, that's fine, but we need to plug into these apostolic and prophetic gifts as well in order to make sure that the foundations are well laid. And Jesus leads the church. They are the joints and supply that supply the church with what it needs to grow up to maturity. Your elbow supplies your arm with all the nutrients that it needs to grow. Your knee supplies your lower legs. And these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are like these joints. And they supply the body what is needed. We need them in the church. We need to recognize these gifts. We need to understand I'm part of a church that's led by a man with a prophetic gift. And we are a prophetic type church because of that. We're plugging into other gifts like PJ and Terry Virgo and others because we want to draw the grace that's resident in that person into the life of our church. So particularly these Ephesians 4 gifts, they don't just have gifts, they are gifts. They themselves are gifts to the church, and they help to bring the church through to maturity. And that's how we build. The body of Christ is built locally and globally as these ministries given from Christ, the ascended Lord, builds the church, brings the church through to maturity. So when you join a church, when you're involved in a group of churches, it's important to ask, are these ministries active? Are there apostles and are there prophets? Are these gifts available and active in the body so that the body is growing unto maturity? We need these gifts to bring the church to maturity. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to the churches? We need to sit under the Word of God. And Jesus leads us forward by His Spirit from one degree of glory to another. So this is what He's doing. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who's reconciling all things. And He's the head over all things for the church. How do we apply this? Let me bring you 6 points this morning. How do we apply this? Okay. All this stuff about Jesus. How do we apply this? And there's things that I want you to do, and there's things I want you to know. Okay, 6 points. The first point is this. The Bible says that because of this, because of who Jesus is, let's look together at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Because of these things, therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Because of this, friends, we need to continue to walk forward in Jesus. We need to walk in Jesus. We need to continue to hold on to Him, rooted in Him, praying to Him, believing in Him, living off Him. There's no other secret knowledge. There's no other experience. There's no other philosophy or course that we need to bring us through to maturity. There's no food laws, no diet or days that we need to pay attention to. We're not observing Ash Wednesday or Lent or special holy days or any of these things. It's Jesus. He's the one we walk in. He's the one we follow. Even as you receive Jesus as Lord, walk in Him. Don't get distracted. Don't get pulled this way. Don't get pulled that way. Don't dethrone Him in your life. Stay connected to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And so this means, friends, when you join a church like our church, we don't give you a manual. We don't give you a list of rules and regulations. What we tell you is you need to connect to Jesus. You need to live off Jesus. It means that we need a relationship with Jesus. The church is not even built on principles. It's not even built on these principles or values, if you like. It's built on Christ. It's built on Him. And you connect to Christ. And when you connect to Christ, He will give you His values. He will give you His biblical principles. And you can love God and do what you like. Because you'll only do what pleases Him if you truly love Him. And so we're not just focusing on values or principles. These are the principles for this and principles for that. We're focusing on Jesus. Hallelujah. Because if you focus on these other things, you can become self-conscious instead of God-conscious. And we want to be more and more God-conscious. We want to fall more and more in love with Jesus. The answer for the world, listen carefully, is not just Christian values. The answer for the world is Christ. Hallelujah. It's Christ. Because you can't live the Christian life outside of Christ. It's impossible. It's impossible to be a Christian. You need Jesus. So we lift up Him. It's so important for us. And that's why for those of us that is homeschooling, it's brilliant that we're homeschooling in Christian schools. And we must make sure that we connect our children and these things to Christ. We don't just want the principles. We want Jesus. Because He's the one that's going to feed us. And He's the one who's going to lead us from day to day. It's so important. So walk in Him. Keep walking in Jesus. Don't depart from Jesus. Secondly, don't go backwards. Go forwards. Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards into legalism. Don't go backwards in your Christian life. Paul says to the Colossians, he says, don't go backwards. Verse 16, he says, don't let anyone pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. They are the shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So friends, don't go backwards. Don't go backwards into things. Don't go even back under the law of Moses. Don't go backwards under the law of Moses. Don't do that. Don't come under rules and regulations. These are shadows. These are shadows. The reality is found in Christ. The one writer said, some preachers need a travel agent in their church because of all the guilt trips they put on people. We're not going backwards into these things. We're not going backwards. The reality is found in Christ. Even if you return to the Old Testament law, to calendar observance, to food laws, and to diets, and Old Testament rituals outside of Christ, you will come under bondage again. You will come under bondage again. You will be enslaved again. And Paul says to that, I said in Galatians, let's look at Galatians chapter 4 together. Verse 8, Paul says, I told you last week about how we got saved, and we went through a very legalistic period in our lives, halal foods, and all these things. It was just terrible. We were in bondage. Could I eat this? I used to check the margarine. Is there the halal sign somewhere on it? No, we can't eat that. I'm telling you. And you worry about what you're eating. What day is it today? It's a Sunday today. I need to wash my car, but it's Sunday. How many of you struggle to wash your car on a Sunday? How many of you? Huh? Sunday today. I better wash it on Saturday. Someone might see me washing. The pastor might see me washing my car on Sunday. Go back to these things. Amen. So Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse, man, we were so legalistic. It was so horrible. It was terrible. Oh, man. So move house. Told you before, go down to Checkers to get cardboard boxes. They had Lexington cigarettes. I said, I'm not advertising for the devil. Give me other cardboard boxes. Man. Paul says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I've labored over you in vain. Amen. And we mustn't come under these things as well. Even the Old Testament law. We still see God's character. You still see God's grace in the Old Testament. But I'm talking about the Mosaic law. It was like an underage child. It was physical. It was external. It was involved in rules and regulations to bring us to Christ. And now in Christ, the Bible says, be mature in your thinking. Because in Christ, we've been set free. And now we serve God internally. The Holy Spirit is in us. We serve by the Spirit. And it's spiritual. It's not physical. And so the Old Testament law was just to bring us to Christ and to reveal the knowledge of sin. But Jesus is the reality and the substance is found in Him. So don't let anyone judge you regarding any things. A Christian is free from all of them. We're free from robes. We're free from robes. That's why we don't wear fancy robes when we preach. We dress like mother and you call him father. We don't do that. We're free from Sabbath keeping. We're free from holy places. We don't say to people, you come to the altar in the front. There's no altar. Jesus died. We're free from that. We're free from circumcision. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? We're free from these things. We're free from using holy water. We sprinkle, this is holy water. We sprinkle, no. You know what holy water is? You put water in a kettle and you boil the hell out of it. That's holy water. No, we don't do that. Free from that stuff. We're free from using candles to invite the presence of God. We're free from these things. We're free from things we eat. We're free from things we drink. A Christian can drink wine. We don't promote that because often it leads to drunkenness if it's abused. But Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, use a little wine for your stomach. The one commentator said, no, they used to rub the wine on his stomach. We've got Dr. Emmanuel here and others. I'm sure that wine on your stomach doesn't heal your ailments. But it says, stop drinking water. Drink a little bit of wine. But we're free from these things. Pursuing angelic visitations. Crosses for protection. Skins on my wrist. Going to the Sangoma. Well, I follow Jesus, but when I'm really in trouble, well, you know, I'm an African. I just get a bit of extra help. You need none of that stuff. You need none of that stuff. Listen to me. The gospel must go deep in Africa. It mustn't be on the surface. It must go deep. I need none of that stuff. I don't need to worship ancestors. I don't need to worship ancestors. I don't need to wear things on my body. I don't need to drink special things. I don't need to observe certain rituals. I don't need to do any of those things. And it's not just for Africans, it's for Europeans as well. I don't need to go to the grave and talk to my dead grandfather. I don't need to wear crosses. My family was so superstitious. Don't break a mirror in the house. 7 years of bad luck. Broke a mirror once, I said to Shannon, hallelujah, we need to get a new one. Don't walk under the ladder. My family used to be horse racers, and you had to be careful what you did on a Saturday before you're going to the gallops because, you know, you might not win the horses. We're so superstitious. I need to do this, I can't do that. I must wear this, I mustn't do that. One day's more holy than another. You need none of that stuff. You need none of that stuff. And we need to pray that we have a generation of Christians coming through in Africa that are not insensitive to culture, but can say, look, I understand that stuff, but let me tell you a better way. And His name is Jesus. And He set us free from all that stuff. He set us free from that stuff. God's work on the cross is the only acceptable work in God's eyes. And so you follow Jesus and you obey the Holy Spirit and you are free from everything. You can eat whatever you want. Eat and drink and eat whatever you want. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's about righteousness, peace, joy, Holy Spirit. The church is caught up on eating and drinking and robes and this and that. No, no, no. That's a distraction from Christ. Follow Christ. Follow the Holy Spirit. Stay under the Word of God. Stay in a local church. Be open to leadership. The answer to legalism, the reality is found in Christ. The answer to mysticism and weird spiritual experiences is union with Christ. The answer to asceticism and harsh treatment of the body is knowing your position in Christ. So don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. pray for you. Don't let family members pressurize you to go backwards. I know it's difficult, particularly in Africa, if you're a woman or a young person, but don't go backwards to those things. The reality is found in Christ. You need no one else. You need no other Savior. Jesus has done it all. Don't come under anything. Don't come under things. We're under Jesus. Don't come under other things. Well, you know, this is my covering. Jesus, but my covering, this is what really I get protection from. No, you're protected by Jesus. He will lead you. And He will give you your assignments. And He will tell you what to do. If you look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, He says there, and say to Archippus. Sometimes you read the Bible, it's like reading asterisks and obliques. Say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Do you see that? In the Lord. We receive assignments. We receive ministries from the Lord directly. And so we plug into God and we plug into these Ephesians 4 giftings as well to bring us to maturity. We're under Jesus. So don't go walk in Him. Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Don't let people judge you. Don't come under anything. Don't add anything to Jesus. Number 4, don't add anything to Jesus. Guard your freedom in Christ. The false teachers at Colossae wanted to add to Christ this philosophy, elemental teachings of the world. We'll come to that in a minute. Where you're influenced by the stars and these other rules and regulations. They placed great emphasis on angelic visitations and these heavenly beings in order to get you to God. And Paul says, Christ is superior because He created all these angels anyway. He's superior to them, to things visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and authorities. Christ is sufficient for everything, and we are complete in Him. Don't go beyond Christ. Don't run ahead of Christ. We are against, I'm against, any doctrine, any course, any focus that neglects Christ, adds to Christ, or subtracts from Christ. Just as the devil tried to thwart God's plans on the cross, so he's trying to obscure this message of grace now. And so we preach an unchanging gospel in an ever-changing culture. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, if anyone else preaches a different gospel, even if an angel comes from, Paul says, if an angel comes from heaven and preaches a different gospel, he says, pay no attention, let them be cursed. There's just one gospel. It's this gospel. Folks, this is important stuff. Hallelujah. And so we don't go beyond Christ. We stay with Jesus. Because we need to know how this world works. Number 5, we need to realize how this world works. And in Colossians chapter 2, let's just look at verse 8 together. Paul writes and he says to them, I want you to understand, don't come again under the elemental spirits of this world, the philosophies of this world. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, what does that mean? These elemental spirits, it's the Greek word stoichia, and it really means religions or ideologies, philosophies of this world that are inspired by human thinking and demonic influence. And legalists, listen carefully, legalistic superstition and demonic domination are very closely linked. The more legalistic you become, the more you will be demonized. They're closely linked. And Paul says to them, listen, don't go back under these things again. You're going to get enslaved. You're going to fall into bondage. And we find that not everything that's supernatural or spiritual is from God. And these religions of the world, these great religions, there are demonic elements in them. There are human elements in them. God can break in and overrule because He's sovereign. But we are talking about a world system that is opposed to God. A world system that is opposed to God. And you see it everywhere. You see it in government. You see it in politics. You see it in the video stores. You go and watch the video stores. How many movies are coming out today with demons in them? They call it just demons. It's a demonically inspired thing, not to make us afraid, but to make us aware. Fung says on Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, the commentator on Galatians, he says, elementary principles of this world cover all the things in which man places his trust apart from the living God. They become his gods, and he becomes their slave. When you go into these religions, you will become enslaved. You go into these ideologies, you will become enslaved. The word secular comes from the Latin word, saculum, which means spirit of the age, which is a philosophy opposed to God. And it's the growing tendency in secular society to live without God in politics, education, welfare, science, medicine, etc., etc. And these religions, brothers and sisters, and these philosophies are spiritually bankrupt because they will not change your life. They can't change people's lives. Paul says there's no power to change your life in these religions or philosophies. They won't change your life. Trying to fix the ultimate problems in people and society without Christ and the cross is hopeless. People say, well, you know, we're trying to discover what's the problem in South Africa at the moment. How do we deal with this and that? The problem is sin, and the answer is Jesus. I know that's just simplifying it, but that is where we start. And in Christ, we can offer hope because it is real wisdom. It's real wisdom. It's God's hidden wisdom. It's God's secret wisdom. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. And I'm saying these things to you, not that we disengage from the world. We can't do that. We're in the world. We're salt and light. But we go with an awareness of what's going on. We go with an awareness of what's going on. We must penetrate this world. And we must be missional. But we must realize what's going on. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this. From verse 6, he says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. That can often mean human rulers or demonic powers who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for his glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you see that? For it is written, no eye has seen, no ears heard, nor has the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Brothers and sisters, on the cross, the secret, the supreme, the sublime, the unbelievable wisdom of God was demonstrated in Christ upon the cross. On the cross, you need to know what happened on the cross. Paul says to the Colossians, Satan was disarmed on the cross. He had his weapons taken away from him, and he was subjected to open shame on the cross. The cross of Christ marks the decisive defeat of all the demonic powers in the universe. Satan was robbed of all future opportunity to harm you. On the cross, they were stripped of their power, and they were disarmed in the following ways on the cross. Number one, Jesus atoned for our sins on the cross. Your sin stood against you and God. It separated you from God. And on the cross, Jesus took his blood and he dipped it in the blood and he wiped your charge sheet clean. Hallelujah, upon the cross. Your sins have been cleansed before God. Secondly, Jesus became a curse for us upon the cross. Jesus was cursed upon the cross so that we would not have to suffer any accusation from the enemy. It was removed from him. He was disarmed. Jesus, thirdly, conquered death upon the cross. That was the last enemy, death. People all died because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus conquered death. They thought he was dead. They rolled a stone over the tomb. They thought that's finished. The woman went there to anoint his body. The next thing, he's alive. Jesus has conquered death. He's broken the power of death. Number four, Jesus has purchased a people for God. Jesus has purchased a new people for God. We've been ransomed by the blood of Jesus. And fifthly, there's many other things, but fifthly, we have been given authority in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, over all the works of the evil one. So Satan has been disarmed upon the cross. Paul says to the Colossians, you don't need to fear these things. You don't need to be afraid of these demonic things. You don't need to worry what's going to happen to you because Satan has been disarmed. And secondly, Satan has been put to open shame. Jesus hung naked upon the cross for us. Hung naked upon the cross. And he defeated the powers of darkness publicly. Publicly defeated them. There was a day when the doors of heaven opened and General Jesus, our heaven's champion, he came. He lived as a man in weakness. He took on human flesh. And he lived a perfect life. And he took our sins upon himself. And on the cross, he beat the powers of darkness. And he stripped them of their power. And he subjected them to open shame. And he rose from the dead. Our Jesus. Our Jesus. And Paul writes to the Corinthians to remind them of these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he writes and he says, it was like David going out to slay Goliath. All these Old Testament pictures were about Jesus conquering Satan. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God amongst those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. To the one we the fragrance of death to death, to the other the fragrance of life to life. In the Roman days, what would happen? The Roman army would go out, and the Roman armies always won their battles, almost always won their battles, and a general would go out, and he'd go off and he'd fight. And when he'd conquered his enemies, he'd have prisoners, and he would conquer them, and then he would come back home. And the people would hear he was coming back home, and they would light incense, and there would be flowers, and the young girls would come and dance like they did before David. And the general would come home with his soldiers and with the prisoners. And he'd come into the city, and there was great joy as he came back victorious in battle. And Paul is using that picture. He's using that analogy to say to us that Jesus came down and he defeated Satan. And when he went back into heaven, he led captives captive and he gave gifts to men. He went home as a conquering general. And the smell of the incense that rose, that perfume, because of Christ's victory, meant different things to different people. To his soldiers, it smelled sweet. To the Christian, the cross of Christ smells sweet because of what he's done. But to those who are unbelieving and the demons, it stinks. That same fragrance because of what Jesus has done. And you and I share in this victory, brothers and sisters, over the devil. We don't need to worry about these demonic forces trying to influence our life. The satanic armies of principalities and powers have been disgraced and disarmed upon the cross. And we are victorious in him. And we pick up our weapons, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and we continue to advance the kingdom of God. But we know that the battle has been won by heaven's champion. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Let's just give him a clap. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And so finally, I want you to know in conclusion that all these things that I've spoken about this morning are of extreme interest to the angels, the good angels. And the bad angels know about it as well. So we don't look to the angels, but they're looking at us. Angels are looking at us. In 1 Peter 1 verse 12, it says, even the angels long to look into these things. The angels long to look into these things. And so I want you to know that the angels and the archangels and even the demonic world, they knew much about the wisdom of God through creation. They'd seen him create. They'd watched him create. They knew much about the wisdom of God through history. As God dealt in history through kingdoms and empires, Daniel's, the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greco-Roman Empire, had seen these empires rise and fall. We've lived through the transition of empires in this nation. We've lived through these transitions. We sometimes don't realize that. It's only when you look back you realize what you've gone through. We've lived through times of great change in this nation. Times of great change. And the angels had watched all this. They'd seen him dealing with Israel. And they'd seen the law being instituted and Abraham and Moses and the system of sacrifices and rituals. But it wasn't solving the problem of sin. How was God going to solve the problem of sin? How was God going to love a people and at the same time judge them for their sin? How was God going to deal with this? It baffled the angels, if you like. And it took the supreme wisdom of God, the supreme wisdom of God in the cross to solve sin and to purchase a people for God. On the cross, Jesus demonstrated the wisdom of God. Upon the cross. And the angels were watching from the heavenly galleries. God in the flesh, a suffering Savior, the inclusion of the Gentiles with the people of God, freedom to approach God's throne outside of law observance and endless sacrifice, the Spirit, we'll come to that in chapter 3, the Holy Spirit in us, the breaking down of barriers between people. In South Africa, the breaking down of black and white together, this congregation is a miracle. A miracle. A maturing, growing bride. A new humanity for Jesus, purchased from every tribe and nation. All of this was hidden from the proud and the wise and the philosophers. And it was revealed to little children. And it was the wisdom of God. And it's found in Jesus, and it's found in the cross. Hallelujah. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, do you not know that one day we will also judge angels? We as the church will judge the angels. This is what Jesus has done for us. We are involved in all of this, this great plan of salvation, the maturing of the bride of Christ for the glory of God. God has a plan, and it's centered in his son Jesus. And there are things we need to know about what Jesus has done. He's disarmed these powers and principalities. There's nothing a Christian should be afraid of because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit in us. And the things we need to do, we need to walk in him. Mustn't go backwards into legalism. We mustn't come under things. We mustn't add to Christ. We mustn't go beyond Christ. Because in Christ, we are complete. And in Christ, we have complete freedom. I'd like us to stand as we close and just read together as a congregation. Chapter 2, from verse 16 together. Can we do that? Colossians, just open your Bibles. I know we've got different versions sometimes, but let's just read that together. From verse 8 to verse 15, let's read that together. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together in him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you have done. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord.